Good morning. Welcome to all of you. God bless you for making your way here. I just marvel week after week. We just make our way here and we have expectations of meeting God here this morning. Amen. That's why we're here. We're meeting together to meet the Lord. And just hearing your testimony there, Martha, just of the things that God is still doing is amazing. The little opportunities that we get of just sharing the gospel while people observe. And I'm just really blessed with that fact this morning that it's God that does the work. I position myself and he uses my tongue for his glory. Wow. That is amazing. That song in front of all those nations. And just the old hymn there. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to look at the topic of walking in His presence. Just thinking about this myself in my own life and my personal desires, my personal testimony at this time is I would like to walk in His presence more. And just to be confident while I'm doing that, and maybe just setting the stage a little bit is, we talk a lot about walking with God, as in meditation, Bible reading, prayer time. I'm not taking away from that at all this morning. I think that's equally as important as it is to walk. What I want to talk about or want to focus on is, how are we doing, how am I doing, walking in His presence every hour? Like, the things that I do, can I see God? Can I be reminded that God is in every moment, every minute of what I am involved in and what I do? And quite frankly, that really challenges me personally. So we're going to look at that topic this morning, a couple of questions leading up to it. I'm going to ask some questions here, and then we're going to look at some the men of God in the Bible, their lives, a few of them. I'm not asking you to follow along with me necessarily. I'm going to go quickly here, but I just want to make sure that we stay on the topic of how would it look if we were to walk in His presence? How would it look if our minds would embrace that God is in every moment in our life? How would that look? And what if there was a place to walk that I could put my total trust in? And I know we are at that place, but just to be reminded of these things is because sometimes we're prone to wander. We're prone to wander away from God and away from His presence. And I know how it feels to not be in His presence, and I also know how it feels to be in His presence. And to be in His presence continually is actually a promise that we can embrace. That is something we can embrace into our lives. So what if there was one person that I could put my faith in? What if our focus performance, would be love? Someone, and through that there would be peace inwardly. Love. But what if I could put my hope in someone that there would be total rest spiritually? Total rest spiritually. Do we sometimes get anxious? Do we worry? Do we do things keep us up at night? I'm experiencing that more and more. As our children get older, it shouldn't be that way. And I'm not saying they're the fault of it. But I as a parent, I'm concerned. What if? What if there would be total rest? What if I could put my hope in someone and have total rest? What if I could be in someone's presence and I could have peace in whatever situation I'm in? What if there could be love and peace and rest just simply by practicing being in His presence? Just reminding ourselves, I'm in His presence. I'm a child of God. And I'm not saying that that we compromise or we play with sin. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about just renewing our mind, reminding ourselves, oh yes, I am a child of God. I can be in His presence. Right now, this morning, at 11:03, I can be in God's presence. You know why? Because He lives within us. He is inside of us when we're a child of God. What if this were true? What if we had these opportunities? What would we do? What could we do? So those are some questions for us to consider as we go into it. Jesus says to practice two things. He says, the first one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is love your neighbor, the one beside you, the one around you, wherever you are this morning or this week, as yourself. You love that neighbor as yourself. So it starts with loving God and then being in His presence, walking in His presence and practicing that. Walking, it means that the action is on my part. I practice it and I make it my responsibility. I intentionally practice and place myself in the position where God can use me, right? I'm talking about a mind shift. Like sometimes we go along and we think, well, we can walk in unbelief, we can walk in doubt. And I'm saying reverse those thoughts by the power of God and just bring them into alignment with what God says. In His word. We believe His word. We ask Him to speak to us this morning. And what if this morning, laying myself aside, what if this morning He is speaking to us? What if? What if God is actually here and He's speaking to us? You know, we take it for granted when we gather together. We don't see His presence. Actually, we do. He's on our faces, right? You can't help it sometimes when you're overjoyed by the joy of the Lord. And so, but you don't physically see the total presence of God. But can we believe that He is here this morning, that He's speaking to me? Praise God. So it means the action is on my part. I practice it and I take responsibility for that. Intentionally practicing to place myself in that position. Adam, in the early chapters of Genesis, Adam is described as having a close relationship with God. He walked in the garden, he talked with God, he walked with God, and he interacted with Him in Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. That's when the fall was. But before that, they walked with God. They heard His voice. They commune with Him. Enoch was another one. He's a unique figure of, it says, he walked with God. And if that were the legacy that we could leave behind, later on we'll see David. He was a man after God's own heart. But Enoch was, he walked with God. What if all of your testimonies in your obituary would say, such and such walked with God? And wouldn't that be an awesome legacy to let behind for generations following us? But it would be noticeable, it would be visible that you walked with God. His life was so pleasing to God that he did not experience death. Instead, God took him, the Bible says. Hebrews 11:5-6, it doesn't say much about Enoch, but Hebrews 11:5-6 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God is a rewarder of those that want him, or want to walk with him, want to see his presence in their lives, or want to just be in his presence. He's a rewarder of those that diligently do that, that seek the Lord. So how do we practically live this out in our lives? These are just a few things this morning, 4 points that I want to share with you. And there's many more things that we could focus on and that would draw us into God's presence. The first one is that I thought of is wait for his thoughts. Wait for his thoughts to stay connected and to stay in contact with God. Wait for his thoughts. Psalm 105:4, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually, one version says, or seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16 and 11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his faith continually. Seek his faith continually, or seek his presence continually. The second point I have, ask him to speak or give direction to you. This one takes patience sometimes. This one takes waiting. And while you're, while you have a vision for something, possibly, while you have something that you're really passionate about, possibly, you lay that before the Lord, and you trust him to speak to you, but sometimes it'll go years before God really speaks. Or he'll take you full circle and bring you back to something that you were familiar to before, a familiar place. But he'll take you full circle and bring you back to that place. In that journey, he's not speaking. He's giving direction for each step. But when you get back, you finally realize, that is why. That's why I took full circle. And you can see God's direction in that. And through all that, sometimes some of us have experienced deep struggles. But if we stay with it, if we stay with it, God will give wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And in this verse, God promises those who seek him that he promises to guide them. John 10 and 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. You see the relationship between God and his followers where he speaks, and when he speaks, they listen. Isaiah 30 and 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You turn to the right, and when you turn to the left. And to me, that's a clear indication out of Isaiah that while we're living life, let's turn to God, whether it's right or left. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we wish we knew, but we just have peace about maybe going right this time. This is where God has me, right? I struggle and have struggled already with God placing me in something that I thought I had high hopes for. I thought I had heard him speak. I thought I had direction. But yet at the same time, it just didn't feel like I had arrived. You know, a little like the thing of you have a dream and finally you get there and you're like, is this how a dream feels? It don't quite feel like I had thought it should feel. And so I struggled with that. But you know what? When you back up, you back up and you just take a deep breath and just trust God for where you are today. I could complain. I could murmur. I could say, maybe I could go into condemnation. I'm not connected with God anymore. All those things want to come into our hearts, into our minds, and start to make us ungrateful for where we are. Instead, can we just trust God that the plans that he has for us, whether right or left, as long as we have peace where we are, you are where you are because God has you there today. Amen? If you disagree with him, then how far are you going to go with that? I'm doing what I'm doing today because God placed me there, right? And we can so easily, and I have done it, we can so easily murmur or complain, and God and blame God for where we are or where we're not. So whether it's right or left, we just trust God. And that, and through that, God will give direction. I've heard it many a times, when people would be seeking the Lord and trying to find direction, and all of a sudden they just surrender everything and say, okay, Lord, if this is where I am for the rest of my life, I'm going to give it all to you. And so many times God comes through at that moment and says, okay, now you're ready. Now I want you to come over here. And that's how God gives direction. He works in our weakness. 1 Samuel 3 and 10. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Highlights the importance of being ready to listen when you're in God's presence. Jeremiah 33 and 3, Ben, what is it? Is Ben here? Jeremiah 33. And amen. I thought of praise God. I thought of you, Ben, when I was studying here, and I came across Jeremiah 33 and 3. Call on me, I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Wow. I know that's your heart, brother. God bless you. He promises to reveal to us what we need to know. Proverbs 2, 3 and 5. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We see the encouragement for believers to ask God for wisdom, trusting that he'll respond generously. The third point is, we looked at ways to connect with God, wait for his thoughts, ask for him to speak or give direction. The third one is make him the object of my thoughts. Ooh, sometimes that's really hard. I get distracted so easy at times, depending what I'm doing. Especially maybe just, let's just look at real-time stuff. If I'm at home studying and there's a lot of activity, I cannot focus. For some reason, I can't focus, and it's my bad, it's my wrong, but I can't stay focused. And that it's just something we deal with. But you know what? I think through the last year here, I've just been confessing to God, I'm getting distracted. Help me. Help me not to get distracted. Help me to not lose focus of what you're trying to show me. So making him the object of my thoughts. First of all, setting times of prayer. Setting times of prayer. And then confessing and admitting our struggles, our faults, our thoughts to the Lord. And then peacefully going about your day. Just adoring him, loving him. Just allowing him to... helping him to realize that my thoughts are sometimes going astray. But help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to stay in your will and have your thoughts. When I have a troubled mind, what is my first go-to most times? When you have a troubled mind, what is your first go-to? Somebody answer it. What is your first go-to when you have a troubled mind? When you're really concerned about something, right? The first thing we probably will tend to do, and I'm guilty of it, is go to another person. Most times, that's what we end up doing. We find somebody, possibly that'll agree with us, or that will have the same concern. Not saying it's wrong, but what about if we would share that with God first? What about if I would consult with God first? And it would just become a habit it'd be easy to confess to him that, listen, Lord, I'm struggling with this. My mind is troubled. And it's just a simple practice of something that we just start with. We start with that, taking our thoughts to God. They may want to stray, but we confess to God and bring them back and ask Him for His Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts and to keep our minds, to keep our minds. And this can be done at work. It can be done while driving. It can be done while you're washing dishes. It can be done while you're doing household chores. God will be in, His presence will be there when our minds are stayed on Him. Just making room for the presence of God. The fourth point, do things for God's sake. Why? Because He loves you. Therefore, His love is the answer for us in every situation we encounter. And I think the foundation of our spiritual life, whether we know it or not or admit it or not, is how we view God is a tremendous blessing when it comes to a trial or a struggle. Our right view of God or how we esteem God. And both of these we have to arrive by faith. Because I just said earlier that we can't visibly see the Lord this morning in flesh and blood. And so it takes faith to have a right, correct view of God. It takes faith to have a high esteem of God. And we arrive there by faith, right? So walking in His presence, we do walk in faith. And then our thoughts are established. So then our performance, our actions will be because we love God. And so, wow, to be swallowed up with unity of God through faith and love. Just somehow I wish I could have put love into the title. But when there's love in our hearts, it will go. It will gain mileage. He says, all things are possible to him who believes. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark 9:23. All things. They are less difficult to him that hopes. Those all things are less difficult to him that hopes. All things are easier to him who loves. And I'm referring to Mark 9:23. All things are even easier to him who perseveres in the practice of all these three virtues. Faith, hope, and love. And that's the substance of our religion. And that's what we practice. That's what we need to practice for. We walk in His presence. This is where God dwells. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for an helmet and hope of salvation, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And I just love that verse. Faith, hope, and love, and the hope is of salvation. God lives, I think Josh recently explained that where there's a breach or a canyon, and you picture the cross going across there. The only way you can cross over is by the way of the cross. That'll help you to the other side. And when God is a restorer of the breach, He lives in that gap, and that's where we ought to dwell. It feels vulnerable. It feels uncomfortable sometimes, but that's where it gets tough. It sometimes gets tiring. And I'm not trying to paint a picture that the Christian life is tiring and tough and weary. All I'm saying is, can we embrace that tough and tiring, wearying part of the Christian journey? Embrace that first so we for sure don't complain when it gets tough and it gets tiring and it gets weary. Because your character will come out when the pressure is turned up. And I am speaking to myself. Okay, I know how it feels to get pressured. I know how it feels when it gets tiring. You feel like you can't go an inch more. But when you accept the situation that you're in and you look toward Christ, and Christ is the answer to this situation, somehow it gives you a new burst of strength. Me and a couple of our sons are training for for a 5K coming up. And the other night, for the first time, I didn't think I could do it. We trained for about maybe 2 or 3 weeks now. And the first mile, when we started out, I thought, oh boy, this is going to be hard. came back a puffing, and I couldn't hardly stand, couldn't hardly walk. My legs were wobbly. And then the last Friday night, after 2 or 3 weeks of training, I did something that at the beginning I didn't have the faith to believe for. I said, I'm going to try to, Sheldon and I'm going to try to go the whole way through. 3.2 miles. I'm going to try to go the whole way through without stopping. I started out, and I'm like, ooh, first mile, I'm puffing. Sheldon's ahead of me. He's a good trainer. He's encouraging me. I can't keep up with him. And so we get into these hills. We have hills out there. And crawling up the one hill, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I can do it, but Lord, help me. Sometimes I just put, I've done this over the years. I just put my hands up and said, it's up to you, Jesus. If I have the strength to do this, you have to give me a little bit more because I'm not feeling it. But I did. I made it the whole way through. What I'm saying is there was a goal in mind. We crossed that goal. When I heard my phone say, you have reached your goal, there was something that happened in here. It gave me more faith to do it tomorrow or whenever. And so I could have complained, my legs hurt, whatever. But at the same time, in our Christian journey, it's going to get hard. If we want to walk in the presence of God, it's going to get hard. There's going to have to be some things chipped away. Don't get discouraged when you find yourself falling back or stumbling or going back into that old mindset. Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged and climb out of it and trust God again. Let him do his work. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. Every day, all things, every day, we just trust God. That is the substance of our religion, that faith, that hope, and that love. And when we practice it, we can walk in his presence. Amen? This is where he dwells. David, known as a man after God's own heart, a deep relationship with God. And in Psalms, I just want to read some things in Psalms where he expresses his heart. And talking about hard things, but what a legacy left behind. In the Word of God, it says he was known as a man after God's own heart. After all he did and his big failures, all he did, his struggles, he confessed his struggles to the Lord the whole way through. He was just honest with God. He was just continuously honest with God. He just said, this is who I am. I struggle. And at some point, it was better for him to die than to live. He confessed that. Have you ever thought about that? I have. When it got hard, I thought it'd just be easier to go to heaven. But I missed the point of what God was trying to teach me. Psalm 27 and 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Psalm 42, 1 and 2, as a deer pants for the flowing streams, this is another version, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the Lord? Psalm 63, 1, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. Can you hear the broken poverty state of David? My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. Have you ever come to the place where there is absolutely no direction and you feel too tired to even look for direction? That's the picture I get here. There was no water. There was nothing refreshing about where he was spiritually. Psalm 84, 1 and 2. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Psalm 139, 7 and 10. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. Wow. Psalm 16 and 11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And these verses just capture the heartfelt desire of David wanting to connect with God. That's all he's trying to do. He's expressing himself to God and exclaiming just his faults and everything that he's struggling with. And then God comes through. So those are the four points I wanted to share with you. But when you look at another thing I want to look at this morning is our friendship with God. First of all, do we believe God? Are we acquainted with the Lord? Is God our friend? Do we think on him often? Do we adore him like we do some things that we adore? I don't know what each of us adores, but we probably all have things that we adore. Do we adore God that way and commune with him? Do we think on him often while we're working? I thought of this as while we're having a conversation, Martha shared about having a conversation with different people. Can you in that moment just allow yourself to think, God's presence is right here. God's presence is right here. I'm talking to this person, and this is a fun conversation, or maybe it's a tough conversation, but I can believe that God is right here in our conversation. And it helps me to answer correctly, or maybe just to listen. I have some learning to do there. I'm also under construction by the Lord. Is God your friend? Do we think on him? It would be rude of us to, you know, to invite somebody or to our house and provide hospitality in that way, and then all of a sudden we would leave. Like whoever's hosting today, what if you were to take your visitors home? Hopefully we all get invited today. But what if that person would all of a sudden, or that couple would just all of a sudden leave his friends? And I just had to think of that, is how many times do we actually do that to the Lord? We show up and then we get distracted. We show up, we start reading, and oh, I got to check my whatever on my phone. And your phone starts dinging and it's time to go to work, right? We get distracted. And he's like, oh, we were just meeting. We just got started. We're not even five minutes into it yet. And I'm distracted. Friendship with God. And I'm not talking this morning about chunks of time. I'm talking about our mindset during the day. What are we thinking? What are we thinking? Are we in the presence of the Lord? So, no, I'm not expecting everyone to get invited. So why is it that God is so often neglected? What makes that in our life? And maybe you're different than I am. I don't know this morning. I would love to hear, but do we sometimes feel like we neglected the Lord? And why is that? Why is it that he sometimes is neglected? Well, because I'm going through something really, really tough right now. I'm going through something that, shameful to say, maybe he doesn't understand. Maybe God doesn't understand, but he does understand. All I have to do is confess that to him, and then we can commune around that. And it will bring us much peace and contentment. So what gets in the way of that? What gets in the way that he sometimes takes second place? I think most of all, it's our will instead of his will. Our will gets in the way instead of God's will. And that's where we are, that's where we stay, that's how sometimes we live our life for years. But this morning I'm encouraging us and challenging us for a revolution. If our will continues to operate that way, we will not walk in the presence of God continually. And we will not be able to pray without ceasing. We will not be able to walk with God in a healthy way. And we will make more mistakes and lose more relationships and lose more opportunities to share the gospel. But when we walk with God, it's the opposite. God will give us opportunities. His will be our will. We'll be aligned. And he'll give us an amazing journey. Oswald Chambers last week, just reading part of his devotional, we tend to say that because a person has natural ability, he will make a good Christian. It is not a matter of our equipment, but a matter of our poverty. We talked about David's state here and how that in his poverty God met him. Not of what we bring with us, but of what God puts into us. Not a matter of natural virtues, of strength of character, of knowledge, or of experience. All of that has no avail in this concern. The only thing is of value is being taken into the compelling purpose of God and being made his friends. And then 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31, he says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." These are men that are called. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised, but God has chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Wow. Powerful. So you picture a state of just surrender, poverty, mindset of just, it's all about the Lord. It's what I do is for God's glory. I want it to be for God's glory. "That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And so we see that weak state, God can use us when it's yielded to him. God's friendship is with people who know their poverty. He can accomplish nothing with a person who thinks that he is of use to God. Ouch. As Christians, we are not here for our own purpose at all. We are here for the purpose of God, and the two are not the same. We do not know what God's compelling purpose is, but whatever happens, we must maintain our relationship and friendship with him. We must never allow anything to damage our relationship with God, but if something does damage it, we must take the time to make it right again. The most important aspect of Christianity is not the work we do, listen to this, but the relationship we maintain and the surrounding influence and qualities produced by the relationship. If we're not awake this morning, we'll miss the point. It's so simple, we'll miss it. Let me say that again. The most important aspect of Christianity is not the work we do. We're doing the work while we're serving the Lord, right? That's just a part of life. But the relationship we maintain and the surrounding influence and qualities produced by the relationship, that is all God asks us to give our attention to. And the one thing that is continually under attack. Wow. That relationship is continually under attack because we want to do things for the Lord, and he's never asking us to do that. He's saying, just give yourself to me. Let me do it through you. And as I was looking at this, you know, just the challenge and the depth of God's word here and what he wants from our lives, I just thought to myself, some regrets that I have. And you know, regrets are not your friend. Regrets are never your friend. Regrets do two things. It will always tell you what you did not do, or what you did not do right. What's not done right? That's always what regrets will do. And so we all have regrets this morning. We have regrets. But let's focus on our friendship with God. Let's focus on that and give ourselves to that daily, hour by hour, and make that a permanent friendship that depends on common interests that He has for us. So again, listen, stop your mind, and just allow God to, yeah, you're working. You're doing whatever you're doing. Maybe you're in a tough situation. You're trying to do something that you never did before, and you're not sure how to get through it. It does take some of your mind space. I'm not saying we need to focus on that. But in the midst of that, we're asking God, before we go into it, we're taking a step back and saying, okay, Lord, give me wisdom in this. I don't know how to do this. I heard someone teach me, showed me how to do it. Now I've got to do it. I want to do this. Just help me learn this and give me wisdom to walk through it. It's so simple, sometimes we miss it. I've never had a 25-year-old before Austin was 25. I've never had a 26-year-old yet. Some of you have 26-year-olds possibly. So there's an area I've never traveled, but I'm willing to go there, and I'm willing to ask God for wisdom in that. Not that Austin is a challenge. He's easy. Okay. But what I'm saying is, ask God for wisdom in the things that you don't know how to do, that you're willing to go into. I never shared, maybe you never shared with a Muslim the gospel. Try it. Ask God. Ask God for wisdom in that. Ask God for an opportunity. So don't get hung up on your regrets. Listen to what God wants to say. Learn to be patient. We're talking about a mind shift this morning, changing our minds to focusing and walking in His presence. And to do that, typically it takes about 21 days to change a habit. If you're 15 days into it and you relapse, so to speak, don't get discouraged. Go back and just trust God again. Sometimes if they're deeper things, I find myself it takes a season is 3 months. Walk in that. Walk in that. Encourage one another to walk in that, to change that practice, to change that to something better. And watch our friendship deepen and our interests shared with God. So in closing here, just want to look at a few men in the Bible that walked in His presence, had a close relationship. We look at Noah. Noah's another person noted for walking with God. He found favor. The word says he found favor in God's eyes and was chosen to build the ark in Genesis 6:9. Abraham was another one. God called Abraham to be the father of many nations. And their relationship was, we see that over and over, was characterized by faith. Wow. How would you have enough of faith without God to believe that this water is going to part? And how would you lead that many people out of a tough situation? I was talking about Moses there, but even Abraham is often referred to as a friend of God. James 2:23. Yes, then Moses, I jumped ahead there a little bit. In Exodus 33:11, he received the Ten Commandments directly from him on Mount Sinai. Amazing. An amazing story. How did that just happen? This was a man that walked with God. He walked in His presence. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, had profound encounters with God, including the famous moment on Mount Carmel. But then there was also stories of Elijah being discouraged. But he was a man that God used. Daniel, wow, here's one. Daniel remained faithful to God throughout his life and had visions and dreams that revealed God's will. His prayers and dedication showed that he walked closely with God. Daniel 6:10. But three times a day, he just spent that time with the Lord, and that was habitual. That was his habit. He wanted to spend time with God, no matter what came at him, no matter what changed. A decree goes out, and he said, "This is what I want to do. I want to spend time with the Lord." And so he did that. And through that, God showed himself strong through Daniel's life. John the Apostle in the New Testament, John is referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had a close relationship with Jesus in his early ministry. And then later, God uses him for the book of Revelation. Wow. Jesus, the ultimate example of walking in the presence of God. Jesus lived a perfect communion with the Father. He frequently prayed and sought God, his will to guide his mission on the earth. And there again, he had a mission, he had a goal in mind. But we're talking about men that walked and practiced. Whether or not they got away, whether or not they had regrets, they went back to God and believed God for their lives. Beautiful concept. And should encourage us this morning. There's just some verses here to encourage us to walk in his presence. James 4 and 8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." How simple is that? How simple, how much simpler can we read that? Matthew 28 and 20, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of age." John 15, 4 and 5, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Reminds me of, we have a couple trees there on the property where we had really bad poison ivy or oak, whatever it was, and there was thick vines that went up through the trunk and were winding themselves around the branches and starting to kill the tree. And unbeknownst to me, at one time I thought, you know, this tree turns nice and green every year. Well, behind the vines were green. It looked like leaves, but behind the vines there was a tree that was actually dying. And the way that I dealt with that is just took a chainsaw and cut a chunk out of the vine that went up through. And a year later, everything is dead. I thought about this verse. If I am connected to the vine, I will continue to get what I need, the nourishment that I need. But as soon as that's severed, I will not get the nourishment that I need spiritually. Without his presence, we won't be nourished. Without God's presence, we cannot be nourished. Now, there's some time, we're talking about being nourished this morning. I'm talking about being nourished. You know, you have enough to get through, right? And I don't know if that's where we are, church, but let's just say that were the case of each of us individually. I'm nourished enough just to get by. But what about if that vine would be connected really well and all those things coming through that vine? We're feeding ourselves. Our thoughts are right. We're trusting God for our situations. We're praying. We're praying with people. We're ministering. We're spending time with the Lord and living in his presence. And through that, our whole being is nourished. And what happens when we're nourished? There's a total peace in the midst of chaos, if you will. You picture that bird where the waves are everywhere and it's sitting right there in the cleft until the storm passes, and then it's going to be able to fly again. So may we be nourished. May we live, may we abide in the vine, which is Christ Jesus. Romans 12 and 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service," or your spiritual worship. And so we wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, 14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Lamentation 3, 25 and 26. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Oh, that's good. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. If that would be all that I said this morning, that would be enough to go home with. The Lord is good to them that wait for him. He'll give you what you need if you wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 62, 1 and 2, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And so here we have the word of God. We ask God to speak to us through his word this morning. We have the word of God to go home with. And each of us has this on our phones. We have it in our homes. We have the Bibles. Let's meditate on these words, the importance of patience and courage that I see in these verses here, the hope and the faith and the love that comes through this while waiting on God's guidance and communication and giving room for his presence. Another thing I was going to mention there is sometimes when we just thinking about getting distracted. I'm challenging myself to say less words. And as I get older, it seems I have less answers for things. But one thing the Lord has been showing me, this is my personal testimony, is there's a tendency in me when someone is saying something that I tend to want to take my volume up a little bit and respond before he's done talking. In other words, not listening. Okay, so what are you saying? Help me understand. But how many times do we like pick our own volume up to override the other person when he or she has something important to say? And do we do that with God sometimes where I feel like I have a little bit more important things to do instead of just focusing on him, attempting to walk in his presence, attempting to just say, Lord, okay, I'll back up a little bit. There's something that you want to teach me here. This is hard. This is really hard. This is tough for me to accept. But I'm going to just back up a little bit, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to come through in this situation. Instead of, you know, just ripping into it and somehow figuring it out. Well, that's one thing that God is teaching me, but it seems it's taken a while. But I trust God that he's going to mold and shape how he needs to. And all this to say is, let's walk in God's presence. Each of us must make a personal choice that I'm going to invite God into my, I'm going to invite God's presence into my life. And then furthermore, let's encourage one another, exhort one another to do that at the same time. Hold each other accountable. Be accountable to walk in God's presence. So anyway, all that to say, I feel like part of it was my testimony, like I said at the beginning. But again, we're all under construction. May the word of God be our anchor. May the Lord be our rock. Christ be our rock so that we can build upon that and live a nourished and fulfilling life. In Jesus' name, God bless you.